When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Welcome to another episode of Ohio Mysteries Backroads. In this podcast, we explore the stories, rumors, legends, and lore of the great Buckeye State. We're your hosts, Mike and Dan. So get ready, another episode is about to begin.
Hello and welcome to another episode of Ohio Mysteries Backroads. I am Mike and that is Dan. And today we're going to travel the backroads of Ohio and stop in the cities of Columbus and Akron to discover a couple of fascinating connections the Buckeye State has with yo-yos and checkers. Hi, Dan. Were you any good with a yo-yo as a child? How were you at checkers?
Hello, Mike. I really liked yo-yos growing up, and I remember I had a couple. I tried to do some really simple tricks, but I don't know about you, but one of the yo-yos, Duncan, was the yo-yo leader, of course, and the coolest yo-yo you could have was the light-up yo-yo.
Yes.
You were something if you had a light-up yo-yo.
Yes. I was a cool kid because I had a butterfly yo-yo. Do you remember those?
Oh, yeah, that's right. I do remember those. How were you with a yo-yo?
Yeah, well, you know, the yo-yo, the butterfly yo-yo, you know, the standard yo-yo was just, you know, round on the sides and with the cotton string. But the butterfly yo-yo, the sides expanded out like wings.
I remember it.
Yeah, they like projected outward. So If you don't know what that is, if anybody's listening who doesn't know what that is, just Google it. I'm sure there's plenty of images of a butterfly yo-yo that you'll be able to see. But I was pretty good. I was okay. I was better at checkers, but I remember trying to, like you said, learn the tricks. And I can't remember the one where you lifted it up and you held it, you swang it around and around the world. Maybe it was called. I can't remember.
Well, around the world, I think, was when you would kind of flip it over your head, like flip it over your head, right behind you, and swing it around.
Yeah, I don't remember. It's been so long. Well, then what I was good at though was checkers. I was really good at checkers during the wintertime when our recess, when we were in elementary school, the recess was held indoors because it was too cold outside or it was raining or something. We played checkers, and at one point, I think I had a record of like 35 wins and just a couple of losses, maybe three or four. I really can't remember the exact numbers, but it was around there. I was good at checkers.
Very cool.
And since we already know that Ohio has a connection to everything, that of course would include yo-yos and checkers, right?
Correct.
Okay, well, of course. And that's why we're going to talk today about two native Ohioans who excelled in professional yo-yo and checker competitions throughout the world. Both were world champions for decades in their respective field. Their names were Linda Sengpiel and Marion Tinsley. So where do you want to start, Dan? You want to start with the yo-yos or the checkers?
Let's start with the yo-yos.
Okay, great. That would be Linda Sengpiel. She was the top female yo-yo player for over four decades. Okay, great. That would be Linda Sengpiel. I can't even say her name. Okay, great. That would be Linda Sengpiel. She was the top female yo-yo player for over four decades. She was known as the yo-yo queen and the first lady of yo. Not yo-yo, but yo. I'm not really sure why it's that way, but it is. Linda was born on April 29th, 1943, and she discovered the yo-yo at her father's company picnic when she was just 3 years old. From that moment on, she fell in love with a simple toy and was rarely seen without one. Her mother was worried that she'd break all the windows in the house, but her father encouraged her to perfect the intricate twirls and all the tricks that she could learn. So she did this pretty much her entire life, like I said, 3 years old. By the age of 8, Linda was already winning most of the yo-yo contests she entered. And she was so good at it because of her commitment to learning the craft of yo-yoing. So it was her dedication and the skill she developed that set her apart from her competitors. There's a video of her on YouTube, and in it she explains how important dedication and practice is in not just yo-yoing, but in anything that you want to be really good at. She really stresses this message, and you can certainly see in the video how all that hard work paid off for her. She really was amazing.
That's pretty cool. I'm definitely going to go on YouTube and check it out, and I think it's just a testament to exactly as she describes. Hard work, yeah. Persistence, and you can accomplish anything.
Yeah, so Linda was the first female professional yo-yo demonstrator in the world, although she considered herself an entertainer as well. She showcased her talents for renowned yo-yo brands such as Duncan, Royal, and Pedro Flores. In the 1950s, she was Pedro Flores' sole demonstrator. It was during those years that Linda carried the moniker the Yo-Yo Queen. At one point, she offered a $10,000 challenge to anyone who could replicate her 10-trick routine. Not surprisingly, no challenger ever collected the prize. In the video that I mentioned earlier, she talks about the $10,000 challenge and says, "I must warn you," and she pauses for a moment and says, "I'm the best yo-yoist in the world." She was really good. In the 1970s, Linda had a product that was called the Sengpil Supersonic Yo-Yo Pack. She was contracted by a large publishing company to package her own trick book with a yo-yo and other items for retail sale. A total of 100,000 units were ordered. However, once the pack had been produced, the contracting company's sales staff was reluctant to promote this new product. Apparently, it was due to the large shelf space necessary to display the set in combination with a low profit margin. The order was finally accepted, but before distribution could begin, the company shut down. The packs were held in a warehouse for a year before being returned to Linda. Shortly thereafter, an agreement was reached with Lawson, a food chain store, to release the Sengpil Supersonic Yo-Yo Pack in the Northeast Ohio. The yo-yo kit included a supersonic yo-yo, 3 membership cards, 4 pin back pins, whatever those are, I'm not sure, 2 stickers, a festival string pack, and a trick book. The kit retailed for $2.98. A smaller version of the kit was also offered for a price of only $1.49 and contained a yo-yo, 2 pinback buttons, and a string pack. Today, the Supersonic Yo-Yo Pack remains a staple in most yo-yo collectors' collections.
That's pretty cool. I'm wondering if I ever saw those when I was a kid, just walking through the grocery store, and there it is, hanging on the grocery store hanger at the checkout line. I'm sure I pestered my mom because I wanted one, and I'm sure I didn't get it.
Yeah, and they probably be worth some money today if you had one. So I want to give you an idea of just how good Linda was with a yo-yo. She performed a trick where she was able to light a match hanging out of a person's mouth with the side of the yo-yo as it passed the tip of the match. So what she did was attach some sandpaper to the side of the yo-yo, and as it passed alongside the match tip, it struck it and it lit it. You can actually see her perform this trick in that video we talked about earlier. She could also yo-yo with one hand and juggle with the other hand all at the same time. She could also knock a poker chip out of a person's ear. And what I want to know is, how did she practice that match trick and the poker chip trick? Would you want to volunteer to be the one to be practiced on?
No, thank you. I'm wondering if she had who was around her at that time. Was she married? And would it be funny to see her husband? Like, he's got 2 black eyes and his face is all banged up just because of her practicing on the yo-yo.
Yeah, well, she had two kids. Maybe she practiced. She did. Well, and we'll mention this later, but she had two kids who were also yo-yo competitors and performers. And maybe she practiced with them or on them as they were growing up. Maybe they were the kids with the black child abuse, right? You know, who knows?
Very cool.
Yeah. Yeah. So Linda was interviewed on many of the Northern Ohio local kids TV shows at the time. You know, that would include Captain Penny and Barnaby and even TV journalist Dorothy Fulltime. If you're from Northeast Ohio, you'll know exactly who those people are. Just local kids shows that were back then on TV. That's what filled their time. On a national scale, she was interviewed by journalist Diane Sawyer and made an appearance on the old Bozo the Clown show. She performed at the Yo-Yo Olympics in 1979 and appeared several times on Cleveland's Morning Exchange talk show, as well as on CBS and NBC sports shows.
Wow, pretty cool. So even though yo-yoing maybe wasn't as big of a sport as, say, football or baseball, kind of neat that she did get some publicity here in CBS and NBC sports shows put her on. That's kind of cool.
Yeah, she got her airtime. And as I mentioned earlier, she trained her children to be yo-yo champions as well. As a family, they were featured on a segment of the TV show PM Magazine, which was another local Cleveland show, in 1979. And they were filmed at their home for a Japanese TV show, We're Number One, which was the Japanese version of That's Incredible back in 1982. I don't know if you remember. Yeah, I think it was on ABC, a show called That's Incredible. Do you remember that show?
I do remember that show. Wasn't that John Davidson? Wasn't he on that show?
He was on it. I can't remember the woman's name. She was real popular at the time. She was on it. A guy named Skip Stevenson.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
I actually met him one time, a long time ago. Yeah, there was they just showed outrageous and crazy things that people did, acts and performances that were just, it's kind of like America's Got Talent, only it was, you know, more of a performance-based, outrageous kind of thing that people did, stunts and things.
I think, wasn't there, Mike, I think there was a scandal on that show after the show, because it was discovered that some of the things they featured wasn't real. Some of the stories turned out not to be true.
No, that doesn't surprise me. Who knows? Kind of like the game shows scandals back in the 50s and whatever. So getting back to Linda, she continued to perform and judge at contests until her passing in 2001. She died very young. I believe it was cancer, but her impact endures. The Linda Sengpil Award is given annually at the World Yo-Yo Championships to a female that demonstrates excellence in yo-yoing. And it's important to remember that it was Linda's dedication, skill, and the love for the yo-yo that left an incredible mark on the world of this timeless toy. I read that she died on April 13th, 2001, with yo-yos in each hand. I don't know if that means she was actually buried with yo-yos in each hand, but I kind of think that's what it was getting at, which I think was kind of cool.
That is kind of cool. Now, I know of anybody that I know personally that would know the answer to this question, it's going to be you, Mike. Does she have a yo-yo on her gravestone?
No, she does not. It's a pretty basic flat stone. And later we'll talk about where you can go visit her if you want to pay your respects. It's just a basic stone. It's not too elaborate.
Got it.
That would have been pretty cool, though, to put that on there. They probably should have done that. It might say something about Yo-Yo Champion. I can't remember now. I'd have to go back and look. Okay, so that brings us to Ohio's checkers champion, Marion Tinsley. Marion was a guy. A little bit of trivia. John Wayne, the actor, his real name was Marion Michael Morrison, so Marion can be a guy's name. But this Marion, Marion Tinsley, was born on February 3rd, 1927 in Ironton, Ohio. He had a genius IQ, and during his school years, he channeled his energy into math and spelling bees. He developed a passion for checkers, and it drove him to spend approximately 10,000 hours studying the game. Because of his high IQ, he was able to skip four of his first eight grades, and he graduated from high school at the age of 14. He immediately enrolled at Ohio State University, and he paid his way through school with earnings from checker exhibitions and tournaments. He received a bachelor's degree in 1950, a master's degree in 1953, and a doctorate in 1957. He taught mathematics at Florida State University for 10 years and Florida A&M University for 26 years. In the realm of checkers, his achievements were nothing short of extraordinary. He is regarded as the greatest checkers player who ever lived. He won numerous tournaments, including the Ohio State Opens, the Canadian Opens, and the Cedar Point tourneys. He holds the record as an 8-time three-move world champion and a 2-time move checkers champion.
That's pretty impressive. I have never heard of a 2-move checkers champion or a 3-move world champion. This guy must have been good.
Yeah, to be an 8-time 3-move world champion, that's amazing. Tinsley played in thousands of tournaments, matches, and exhibitions, playing many tens of thousands of games. Of these, he lost a total of 7 games, 2 of which were to the Chinook computer program, and another one he lost while competing under the influence of alcohol. His remarkable consistency and strategic brilliance set him apart from every other player. Tinsley held the title of world champion from 1955 until 1958, and then again from 1975 until 1991, and he never lost a world championship match. His dominance in the game was unparalleled. There's this guy, Derek Olberry, who is often considered the second best player of all time. He described Tinsley as, to checkers, what Leonardo da Vinci was to science, what Michelangelo was to art, and what Beethoven was to music. Tinsley's legacy endures as a testament to his brilliance, unwavering focus, and unmatched mastery of the checkers board. His impact on the game remains indelible, and he will forever be remembered as a true legend in the world of checkers.
You know, Mike, that's really cool. And you think somebody at some point would have made a movie about this or a story about this? It's really begging for one, for this guy to be that good and that talented.
Even a documentary is something, you know? I wonder how many states in the country can lay claim to having a checkers champion and a yo-yo champion. I can't believe there's too many states that can make that claim.
Yeah, probably not too many.
Yeah, so... both these guys, both Marion and Linda, amazing individuals, and they're both buried in Ohio. So if you'd like to pay your respects to Linda or Marion, you can visit Linda at Greenlawn Memorial Park in Akron, and Marion is buried in Greenlawn Cemetery in Columbus, Ohio.
Wow, what a cool legacy. Those are two really talented people that probably didn't get the credit that they're due, at least at this stage in the game.
Yeah, I mean, I never really heard of them until I was doing research on, you know, famous people from Ohio and their names came up. Otherwise, I would have never known about them.
Wow. What a cool story. Thank you, Mike.
No, thank you. I'm glad we could do it. I hope people find it interesting. And I guess we will see you next week.
Sounds good.
Bye.
All right. Thanks. Bye. Hello. If you enjoyed this podcast and want to hear more like it, head over to OhioMysteries.com. With over 500 podcasts to choose from, there's sure to be one that's going to keep you captivated. I'm Dan, and I can be found at YouTube at North Coast History and Haunts. My partner Mike can be found at Facebook at Too Late for Autographs. Thanks for listening.
A news story gets shared by a friend on social media, or you catch a tweet that really makes your blood boil. But how do you separate fact from fiction? That's the premise behind Disinformation, a 10-part series from Evergreen Podcasts and Emergent Risk International coming this fall. Tune into Disinformation wherever you get your podcasts, and remember, don't believe everything you read.